The moment that your records can give you insight and automate small decisions, that's the moment that your data collection costs pay you back.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Exalit, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show. I'm your host for today, Gail Carpenter. I'm joined by Dr. David Cook, who is the CEO and managing partner of Bovis Inc. He founded Bovis Inc. while he was in grad school, and he has 3 degrees from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, but they're in different things. So his bachelor's in agronomy, he did a master's in ag engineering, and a PhD in dairy nutrition. So quite a diverse area of interest. He's also studied studied theory of machine learning as well. So excited to have a conversation with David today. And we will jump right in and get started. Dairies collect so much data, and they're collecting more data all the time. What is the biggest gap that you see when it actually comes to turning some of this data collection into action items? Some people hoard data but don't actually do anything with it. So what's the gap there?
Yeah, so most dairies are definitely not data poor. They end up being insight poor. You can collect data in a lot of different ways, increasing amounts of sensor systems, vision things, the amount of data that they can collect will just keep increasing. And yeah, that real gap is on the translation. It's how do you turn data into insights? In dairy, one of the particularly difficult things, it's really a multi-dimensional nature to that data. Everybody kind of points to swine and poultry as being ahead of dairy. And that's like directionally, we do follow those animal proteins. But personally, like I spend time there trying to learn about those systems. How do they manage them? How do they track them? How do they use data? But you also have to appreciate a couple of key differences. So one is the monogastric versus ruminants and the evolutionary biological principle of energy partitioning for growth versus lactation. And so, poultry and swine can be a little bit easier because I'm feeding dry feed to a monogastric and I'm measuring growth. And so that feedback cycle is pretty tight. And while there's confounding things, it's a lot less where with ruminants, we have this whole like multifactorial impact on the current production based on things that happen through the cow's lifetime, the transition period, previous lactations, and just forages that are being fed. It's a lot more difficult space. And so that's why it's also why it's interesting. And it's also where I find there's a lot of interesting opportunities in the future for machine learning, part of why I had studied that. I think it can help reduce some of that noise and really get at what is the main things that are driving it. Because I like to think of some of the dairy data as being about a 20,000 dimensional space, and each person, expert that you have come to the dairy keeps turning that 20,000 dimension cube in different directions and they see new different patterns. So it's one of the infuriating things that things aren't obvious until they're pointed out. But it's also one of the interesting pieces about dairy.
Yeah.
When you do find problems, generally they end up being process breakdowns that have a first and last name attached to them. And then sometimes you're like actively looking for opportunities, trying to use data to gain some of that insight. And so kind of a couple of different ways that they use that data. But that's also the primary reason I set out to create Bovis Inc. is if I can standardize that data It allows you to look across different farms, whether you own them or you work with those farms. You can log into multiple farms so you can get bigger numbers and do direct comparisons of different management practices, things like that. So there's a couple of flavors of the insight. So one is people like actively looking for opportunities for changes and wanting to compare different farms, different management practices. And the other, the more common, is looking for problems. And most of those problems end up driving from different process breakdowns that have a first and last name attached to them. And so both of those things get at the primary reason I set out to build Bovasync. It's if you can build a standardized data system, you can gain insight across different farms that you work with or ones that you own. It gives you the ability to have like deep logical insight. And I also knew it had to be cloud-based from the start because you have to be able to connect machine learning tools that to these things so that way you can get the best insight and decision making.
Yeah, cloud-based is really taking over a lot of platforms. It was, I think, slow uptake for a while there because rural internet has always been kind of an issue when it comes to cloud-based platforms. Is that a challenge that you guys had?
Yeah, so on that point, it was pretty risky 10 years ago when we did it, but I also lived in a rural area, and even when I was doing programming, if the rain came from the southwest, I had no internet for 2 days. And so we built the entire thing with the idea that internet will be intermittent. And so everything that's being done at the dairy, you have to be able to do offline. And so when we built the app, we had done it to make that work.
Hopefully that continues to improve. I know it seems like in the past 5 or 10 years, rural internet has really come a long way. Long way to go still for a lot of places, but hopefully that's something that we continue to see improvements in.
If you're tired of juggling paperwork, spreadsheets, and multiple systems, Bovasync makes herd management simple. It's a software designed for producers, helping you track health, breeding, and performance all in one place, while improving labor efficiency and cutting down on time spent entering data. That means fewer hours in the office and more time where it matters most, working with your herd. Learn more at Bovasync.com and see how simple and efficient herd management can be.
So let's walk through a real example. We use data on a dairy all the time, and we're, I think, really blessed in the dairy industry because even on a farm that has no data collection, which is very few anymore, you're still seeing those cows multiple times a day and interacting with those animals a lot more than you would previously. So there's still some farms that don't have milk meters, for example, but those are becoming a lot more common. And there's a lot of ways that we can use this data to form decisions that we haven't always been able to do. We have a lot of this data on a dairy. And I think at a certain point, we're so used to being able to make these decisions that we almost do it without thinking. We're just kind of acclimated to it at this point. So can you give me an example of like timing dry off or deciding when to breed heifers where we can incorporate more of this data from these different sources in a way that's a bit more automated?
The moment that your records can give you insight and automate small decisions, that's the moment that your data collection costs pay you back. One of the interesting things Pat Hoffman taught me a couple of interesting things. The first one is the phrase rougher than a cob. And number two is when they were doing different crossbreeding at the Marshfield facility, the heifers, when you have different expected mature weights and you have this genetic variability, it makes it nearly impossible or extremely difficult to be able to try and breed heifers by weight and frame. And that's a few different reasons why people basically just breed them off of age and days. And so one of the things that we had done is we knew that you're not going to be able to weigh animals at an exact right time. And you also have this genetic variability. And so what a computer is great at is having rules, automating, doing math. And so we built a system that it takes any of the weights you have for each individual animal, creates that individualized growth curve using the genomics and pedigree data for what that animal's expected mature size is going to be, along with weights that you have, any weights that you have measured. And then that allows you to generate report items that give you a date that it's going to be expected to be at 55% of mature body weight. Then in BovaSync, you can use those protocols to automatically create chores for moving the animals when they're, you know, 15 to 22 days from before their mature body weight date into the breeding lines, and that they, you know, have at least achieved a minimum age to make sure that they hit the frame that they need to. And so you end up walking the line, scanning the heifers, pulling the ones that the phone says to move into the breeding lines. And so basically what's changed is you've had your data been transformed into predictive insight, and then you've had automation to create the work list, and the employee's job is completely unchanged. Before, they're scanning and they're moving animals that are 405 days of age. Well, now they're scanning them because they're 15 to 22 days until mature weight. They scan them and they move them. And then the manager's job becomes using different reports to see, you know, is 55% best for the way that we do things, or is 57 or 54% best on my operation, and then making those adjustments into that system. And then, you know, being able to use those reports to gain insight on different cohorts that aren't meeting that genetic expectation on time to find out why there's opportunities in those cohorts of animals. And so it's really trying to use the protocol automation systems that are in BovaSync to be that decision automation engine, and the cow data is the trigger for it, and the human executes, and they're the auditor of the system.
So do you have other examples of what it actually looks like on a dairy? Like if employees are doing these day-to-day tasks with that automation, what other examples do you have of what that looks like, just boots on the ground?
So I think one of the interesting things is when I go to some of the dairies after we've got them using our system, is I used to show up to the dairy and talk to them about BovaSync. The manager's always in the office generating lists, doing all kinds of different things in the office. And now when I show up to the dairies, there's nobody in the office. The reports have disappeared. The work list disappeared. The clipboards are gone. The manager's not there. Really facilitating some of the that manager to spend more time with the employees out in the pens with cows. And what the automation systems that we have is it really better facilitates group management and having individual exceptions handling that's made easy or automated. So you can have, you know, even like on breeding decisions or DMB decisions, when the mobile app can help tell the breeders what they're supposed to do, which protocol, which sire, when you can take all of those rules, and which can be, can be complex, instead of having to try to retrain people, have lots of meetings, try to keep people consistent, you just put the rules in so that way it tells them automatically what they need to do. And so instead of let me check with the boss or let me guess what the best thing to do is, it's let the app tell me what to do. And it really, you get less inconsistency across shifts because the communication, it's done and it's reinforced in the app because they're seeing it every time. And so if you're changing, you know, my Sexton beef from 3 services to 2 or 3 to 4, you don't have to keep having meetings over and over with different breeders that aren't following it because they forgot or were at the meeting and missed it or whatever the case is. And also helps with employees just being able to ramp up in days instead of months. You hire somebody that comes from another dairy, they have different ways of doing things, and it's a great way to introduce protocol drift. And so when you can try to automate those things and really put those processes, turn them into checklists, they're checking off as they do it, just helps prevent that protocol drift. So then the manager, instead of spending their time in the office and taking all these messages, they go from being the chief decision maker on like 200 little things and being a list printer, they end up becoming the, you know, system designer and the exception reviewer. And so they can spend their time when they're at the computer, instead of generating lists, they're, you know, looking at what's the palpator efficacy, what are, you know, the rail preg rates and the abort rates of people that are deciding P1s at my farm. What's the people read about shot compliance. So I can look at shot compliance, see if that's a problem, because I can see every single shot. But I can also use, what are the cows telling me? So I can look at the conception rate based on who is it giving the PGF-3 shot. They might be giving it, but it might not be the right dose or the right site, or they are skipping cows. There's lots of different things. So if I can have the outcome or the results tell me, I'd prefer to have the cow tell me what the answer is to some of those things. Similar thing for timing of GnRH. I can use conception rate based on time between GnRH administration and timed AI. More and more alerting systems, different wearables. I can look at the compliance for heat and health alerts. This is what we have set up. Are they actually following what those protocols are? Are they doing these things?
Cowbell Pro from ChemLock Nutrition improves the health of transition cows. With its proprietary cap matrix technology and NutriLock chromium in every pellet, Cowbell Pro supports and enhances calcium metabolism and increased dry matter intake, helping to reduce dyscalcemia and improve transition outcomes, all without needing the extra steps of urine pH testing, low potassium forage, or routine boluses. Visit ChemLockNutrition.com to learn more about Cowbell Pro.
So, have you seen any new or unexpected management strategies? I'm sure there's a learning curve when it comes to letting go and letting the data do its thing. But once you've gotten over that hump, what are some innovative ways that people are using their data?
I don't know. There's always all kinds of different interesting things as economics change. You can see all kinds of interesting things. The whole calves becoming $1,200 has driven a whole lot of different management changes at dairies. I think even that, one of the surprising things that I'd found is when I was helping a couple of dairies trying to understand some of that, and you start modeling out what the value of trying to increase the number of calves you're producing per year by shortening up your number of days open, even at a $1,000 beef calf value, if you can increase that, if you can move up your days of milk to conception by a day, increase the total calf production by 1/3% and your beef calf production by 2/3%, if they're all beef, the milk value of the income over feed cost, the milk value on adults, not L1, so like lactation 2+, is worth twice as much as that calf is just by having a fresher herd, having less late lactation animals. So that was a surprising find and kind of a driver towards, we push back voluntary waiting period to get the highest conception rate. I'd take some hit on conception rate if I can breed them earlier, if I can get them pregnant earlier. I shouldn't say breed them earlier. If I can get them pregnant earlier, I should do that all day long for adult cows.
All right, we've talked about AI, artificial insemination. But the other AI that everybody's talking about right now is obviously artificial intelligence. Where does artificial intelligence fit into this?
Yeah, so it's really interesting how these LLMs are being used. I think a couple of the mental models to have on some of the way that these LLMs work, I think that's a good place to start, is think of the core LLM, the Claude, OpenAI, things like that. They're going to be the engine that generates all the words. So when everybody else is talking about AI, most of the stuff is like marketing claims. There are only a few people that are building LLMs. So they're incorporating them into what they're doing. And the way to think of those things are they're generalists. They're like the world's most knowledgeable and naive person. A good way I've tried to explain it to different dairy people is if I asked you, what do you think about cows on pasture, and you're at the beach on vacation, you're going to have one answer. If I'm standing at a floor at an ADSA meeting, random person, I have no idea who it is, they ask me, I'll have a very different answer. If I'm at a farm in New York, it's a different answer. If I'm standing at a farm in Denmark, it's still yet a different answer. And that's knowing nothing at all about the person, just where I happen to be standing. And so when you're asking on a computer, they don't know anything or any of the context around you unless you've built some things into it to do that. And so part of this integration of taking these core models and using them is a couple of things. So making playbooks, so that way they aren't a generalist, they can be more of an expert. So like in BovaSync, we have this Ask BovaSync. Essentially, it's these LLMs are behind the scenes, but there's playbooks that it can use that it can use. So instead of being a generalist, it's a dairy herd management expert, or it's a BovaSync support expert or something like that. And then the agentic capabilities become really interesting, where you start building different skills up for these systems. So that way they can create that answer, but now they can start calling and, you know, asking for data, pulling things in, and start trying to evaluate, iterate, and then give you something back. I don't buy any of the hype onto them, but I'll also tell you, I spent like $1,000 on tokens last month for the amount that I use it. And so like, I'm a very heavy user of them, but I find them to be like really good interns, really good, like junior associates are kind of the way to think about it. The ability to do different things. They can be wild, some of the different applications. But I do find that they're still a little bit poor with math and numbers and like some core data kinds of things. But they could still be hugely valuable, even at farms. I mean, outside of dairy data, just here's protocol. I need to generate protocols. Help me generate this protocol or look over this for me. Translate this into Spanish. I don't. Like if you ask the one in BovaSync, it'd give you a little better protocols. But if I just open up Gemini and I ask for a transition cow management plan, it's shockingly good. They're wildly interesting. And as they get incorporated more and more and have more access to different tools, and it'll definitely changing how people are using their data.
Yeah, wildly interesting. I love that. That sums it up right there. Yeah. Anything else? I know we're kind of approaching the end of our time, but anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I had or that you'd like to talk about?
I could add one more thing on that AI piece of it.
Sure.
So when we started, you had asked about the farms using data and the insights and how some of it's insight poor. And a piece of that is there's so many different ways to look at the data and reports. So you set up like, you know, KPIs that you're looking at all the time, but there's a lot of time and mental energy into checking those things. And are they the right things, or do we have to go different directions? And I do think that's one of the places that'll be interesting for LLMs, is you'll be able to eventually have prompts that run on schedules that can check different reports for you and evaluate KPIs and try to give you notifications. And that won't be limited to just BovaSync. Like that's the direction that some of these tools are going. So this could be in your financial software. This could be any different kinds of computer systems that you're using and trying to have metrics on how you're looking at business systems. And so I think as those tools develop, it'll be really interesting in how people are looking at that data. And for this like 20,000 dimensional dairy data, when it can agentically look at, I don't know, 4,000 of those different ways, and that's within your budget because you don't want to pay for $1,000 a month of tokens to look at all 20,000. If it can look at 100 of them automatically, you know, you'll start generating new interesting insights that it raises its hand to, and then you'll start finding you get annoyed by it giving you way too many alerts and alarms for things that aren't true. So, they can't fully automate everything. It's really, you have to have your knowledge, the farm context, things that are happening on the ground. Not everything is in that data, but it can sure point to a whole lot of different things and measure the direction that things are going and if management strategies are working or not.
Well, if people want to know more information about BovaSync and you and what you're working on, where can they go to look up more information?
Yeah, they check out our website or go on YouTube. So probably two of the best places.
All right, very good.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? BovaSync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BovaSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Support faster recovery when cows face inflammatory pressure. Contact AHV to discover the new Aspie formula. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Rangin Livestock Nutrition. We partner with a purpose. Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to deliver cost-effective solutions for the animal health and productivity challenges you face. For conventional or organic production systems, Natural Biologics can help support rumen health and immune function, mitigate pathogens, and increase production efficiency. Visit naturalbiologics.com to learn more.
With that, we can lead into the three questions that all of our guests get asked. So the first one is, what is your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
Probably Cow Signals. So I'm a terrible cow guy. I know I see cows through data. And so if the cows can have feedback and data, I can know something about them. But walking a farm, I'm not a whole lot better than live or dead. So it's a interesting, helpful book. So
yeah, Cow Signals, really good program, really good resource. I'd second that. What about non-dairy book or resource?
Probably some of like the classical management, personal management kinds of books from, you know, Stephen Covey, Jim Collins, some of those.
Yeah. All right. And so the last one is about successful dairy professionals. What do you think sets them apart from those who are not successful?
Yeah, I think the most successful dairy managers I see are, you know, they're not managing the cows. It's really building the systems and managing those systems and trying to keep people within, you know, operating within those systems and allowing the protocols to manage the cows. And so if you're good at building systems and you're good at communicating to be able to lead a team,
yeah,
I think those are some of the most successful dairy managers I encounter.
Nothing's in a silo on a dairy, except the things that are literally in a silo. Yeah. But even then, it's still part of a larger system.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, David, it was great to talk to you today. I'm sure our listeners also enjoyed our discussion. And so with that, we will go ahead and sign off.
All right. Thank you, Gil.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.